information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue, and welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's Tuesday, May 9th, and coming up this hour, there's a new Secretary of State in town. Wisconsin has a new Secretary of State for the first time in more than four decades. Sarah Godlewski has already gained attention and ruffled a few feathers for her outspoken advocacy to fend off the next right-wing attack on fair elections. Some say she may be going beyond the bounds of her new role. Others say it's the kind of candor Wisconsin needs right now after Republican threats in the past and still to come to weaponize that office and threaten to overturn the will of the voters. We'll talk to State Representative Christina Shelton and Dr. Kristen Lierley about that topic and more about protecting our elections coming up later this hour. Chad Holmes will join us as well from Bull Falls Radio to talk about his weekday afternoon show and what he's talking about in the Wausau area. A reminder that you can join us anytime in the conversation at 844-967-2789 or send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you're watching the live video feed of this on Facebook, you can leave a comment underneath. And if we see it and like it, we might pop it up on screen as well so that you can share your thoughts with everybody. The Up North News newsletter comes out every weekday morning around 5 a.m. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. And in the newsletter today, one of the stories is about some realtors who, along with helping provide housing for their customers, are using some of the proceeds of that to provide housing for families in need a world away on another continent. And you'll hear all about their good works. Over at UpNorthNewsWI.com, we're talking about this being National Teacher Appreciation Week. I'm going to read a couple of the stories that have come in already in just a second, but first, a reminder to you that you can tell us about your favorite teacher here on the radio. Again, you can call anytime, 844-967-2789. If we're at a good part in the show to put folks on the air, we'll put you right there to tell us all about your favorite instructor. But here's a way for you to do it on your own schedule. That studio line number, 844-967-2789, also gets text messages, which include sending photos or videos as a text message. So all you got to do is pick up your phone here, like I am right now, and hold that baby up and point the camera at yourself. Take a little video selfie and, you know, keep it under a minute and then send it as a text message to our studio line. And then we'll gather those. We'll play some of them on the radio. We may put some of the video clips up on an Up North News social media post. And we would love to have your thoughts on the teachers who have made a difference in your life. And that's been done already by some of the other folks on the Up North News team who've been collecting stories. And one of the stories that went up yesterday included some of those remarks that have come in. There was a 57-year-old who wrote about Ann Davis, a 7th-grade English teacher at University School in Milwaukee. She's also the co-lead of the middle school's award-winning forensics team. And the writer says that Ann Davis, quote, has a great sense of humor, incredible patience, and the gift of words to usher Wisconsin's future leaders into adulthood. She embraced her love of children and working with people and turned it into a career change, starting with being a substitute teacher. There is Galen Braun, who taught several grades once at a small school in Wisconsin before moving on to other locations. Some of Braun's children pursued careers in education after watching his glowing example. There's a story here about Danielle C. Olson, who taught 6th through 8th grade special education at a middle school in Madison. The reader who nominated Olson said that she is, quote, without a doubt, holds the longest special ed teacher in the Madison district for her age group and has had a tremendous impact in her 29 years of teaching. There's Billy Joe Johnson, a 7th grade retiring teacher from Meyer Middle School in River Falls, revered for her approach to project-based learning. Johnson keeps things fun for students, regardless of what the class is learning. A reader wrote, Billy is a true student advocate who cares about each student as an individual. And again, these are things you can continue to do either by taking a little video selfie and telling us about it, use the voice memo feature on your phone, or just kick it old school, who thought email would be called old school, and just write an email about a teacher that you think deserves a little special recognition. And then you send that to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And we would be very happy to read that as well and share some of the details. Now, Aaron Zommers at our studio in Madison already told us last week about a couple of instructors that were, you know, near and dear to his upbringing. Any regrets after that? Did you hear from any others or have any other nominees you wanted to put in the Aaron Zommers Teacher Hall of Fame?
Well, I will make one note about one of the previous ones, is that the band director I talked about, Mr. Hoffman, is now going to be the principal of that school. That was announced a couple days after.
That's pretty cool.
And also, Miss Boley from Lincoln High School in Manitowoc, she was an English teacher who definitely, like, I learned a whole lot about writing in that class, and she was also just a really fun person to be around. It was a good time.
That's great. And I'd mentioned earlier, and it'll be in one of our Up North News stories this week as well, about Miss Wedge, my middle school English teacher. And again, the whole reason I'm the word nerd that I am and always appreciate finding the right words to express something is because she was such a stickler for having us do that. And she didn't tolerate any of the middle school shenanigans along the way. So please send us some nice notes about your favorite teachers. We'll take a break. Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology should be around next to give us a very nice forecast for the middle of the week. Coming up next, you're up north. Here's a little inside information. That's actually my alarm every morning about 4:15. The very light chimes that go into Billy Joel's Rosalinda's Eyes. It's a very nice, gentle way to wake up. Brewers opened up a 3-game home series against the Dodgers last night. Joey Weimer and Willie Adames hit 3-run homers to back Freddie Peralta, who had a strong pitching performance, and the Brewers beat the Dodgers 9-3. Freddie Peralta went 6 innings, struck out 5, and allowed just 1 run on 3 hits and issued 2 walks. Time for an update on the weather now, and let's go to Jennifer Wojcicki, meteorologist with Weatherology, for what looks to be something really approaching gorgeous on the meter for midweek, but, you know, still some raindrops on either side of it. Jennifer, good morning. What's new?
Good morning. Yeah, well, like you said, it's kind of a decent forecast coming in, particularly here for tomorrow, but then we do have a chance for some rain showers here coming in as well. So it looks like highs in the 70s for most today, which is above average. A little cooler around Oshkosh, though, down to Waukesha and Milwaukee, lingering in the 60s today around there as a new warm front doesn't fully push through there yet. As far as cloud cover, kind of a mix of everything throughout the state today. A slight chance for some showers and storms in west central Wisconsin with cloudy skies. Sunny around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids down to Milwaukee, and some cloud cover in south central and southwestern parts of the state, Madison to Richland Center. Sunny skies for most on Wednesday, though. Overall warmer as well, with most in the 70s. Again, a little cooler right on the Michigan lakefront. Slight chance for showers and storms around Amory and Baldwin coming in. For the second half, the work week, looking at rain chances across the board both Thursday and Friday. Temperature-wise, not much of a difference from Wednesday, lingering in the mid to upper 70s. Well above average for this time of the year. Again, once again, cooler towards the Lake Michigan lakefront in the 60s still. So still pretty average around those areas. And then for the weekend, still looking at a chance for some showers lingering in, with temperatures starting to cool down as the cold front begins to push through. They're primarily still at or just slightly below average for Saturday and Sunday.
All right, Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. And coming up tomorrow, we will have Wisconsin Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers. This is a Tourism and Travel Appreciation Week, and the Wisconsin travel industry and tourism industries, these are multi-billion dollar affairs, and Secretary Sayers is going to tell us all about that from the tourism department standpoint. So that'll happen about 7:30 tomorrow morning. Then on Thursday morning at 7:30, our hometown health segment, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, will have as her guest Cody Groshak, who talks about the environmental health that comes from composting and his efforts in Northeast Wisconsin to encourage it there and elsewhere, because we put way too much food and related products in our landfills that don't have to go there. they can do much more good if they are being composted instead. And of course, it being Thursday, we'll be talking to our friend Joe Zepecki around 6:30 about some of the top stories. That's coming up this coming Thursday morning on Up North News Radio. Aaron, you were telling me just a bit ago, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it's through Natalie Albert of the Green Bay Press Gazette, but it's all part of the USA Today Wisconsin network. But we saw it at the Journal Sentinel website that there is still more community outrage about the band teacher at Wausau East who used racial slurs. And look, as somebody who was a music student for as long as you've been, Aaron, band teachers can be a different breed. I know my wife has talked about her colorful band teachers over the years, but you know, there's a difference between being colorful and being off color. And I don't think any teacher, band teacher or otherwise, should get a pass at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, they're a different breed. They can be pretty goofy. They can have different relationships with students than other subjects might. That sounds bad, but it's not. It's just like potentially more of a peer attitude than just an instructor, depending on the band teacher. And I've had that happen with plenty of different band instructors, and none of them called Mexican students Cheech or anything like that. And this individual did, among other things.
And it came out in the latest Wausau School Board meeting. And again, Natalie Albert's story about it appeared early this morning. And here's the rub. After hearing from nearly 30 speakers, the Wausau School Board did, after an hour and a half of testimony, approve the contracts of a lengthy list of teachers for the next school year. And the band teacher from Wausau East, Robert Perkins, who, by the district's own determination, used racial and homophobic language and, in my mind, engaged in severe bullying against a student, he's on that list of teachers whose contracts have been approved for the next year. Now, after the vote, according to this story, a Wausau school board member questioned whether the board should reconsider, quote-unquote, one person, given all it had heard Monday night, but the director of human resources responded that statutorily we cannot, because there was no preliminary notice of non-renewal from a timing standpoint. So that's the legal reason why that person's name is still on a list, but I would not under any circumstances say that that person is out of hot water and is going to go without further consequences for what certainly appears to be racist and homophobic bullying of one particular student and language that other students had heard, had been exposed to. It was reported multiple times. And yet the school board and administration had determined earlier, if you missed our conversations about it last week, that this teacher simply uses humor to create a fun learning environment. There is never anything humorous or fun or conducive to learning about racism, homophobia, or bullying. And at no point, I add again, has there been any flat denial or alternatives offered up by the district or by the teacher. So we are not pulling things out of thin air here. We have documented complaints from the student, from parents, and no outright denial, only an excuse that is not holding water with a large portion of the Wausau community. I'm sure we'll have more to say with Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio about this as more stories came up during the school board meeting on Monday night. Again, we're going to endlessly defend and advocate for public education here and for teachers. But in order to do so, you have to be willing, able, and really want to call out the bad apples, the bad actors, whether it's just to modify a behavior or to bring about consequences for behavior that brings, you know, shame and dishonor to your profession, to your school district. And if that's the case, this is no time for making excuses. This is no time for rationalizations. This is a time for saying what is best for the students and the learning environment in the district. And while the Wausau School Board heard plenty of new information on Monday, they have yet to make a decision on something that will help the district heal the wounds that seem to have been inflicted by this instructor. This is not a story that anybody is going to allow to be swept under the rug. That's not how this is going to work. If you missed it in our last hour, a Dane County judge has ordered the Wisconsin Elections Commission to rehear a complaint filed against the fake Trump electors from December of 2020. Those fake electors, at the time when they gathered at the state capitol in Madison, said they were merely a backup plan because there had been all these rumors of election irregularities, and so they wanted to fill out paperwork to establish themselves as Trump electors just in case the results of the Wisconsin election were overturned because of voter fraud. We learned later, of course, there never was voter fraud, that this was all premeditated. This was part of a plot to overturn an American election. Now, the Wisconsin Elections Commission didn't know that at the time. The January 6th committee hadn't formed and uncovered all this information yet. So at the time, they went along with this rather flimsy excuse. A progressive firm, Law Forward, appealed to a judge saying, in part, the Wisconsin Elections Commission should hear it again, but without one of the Elections Commission members, because one of the Elections Commission members was one of the fake electors. And the Dane County judge agreed yesterday and ordered the Elections Commission to hear the case again, this time without Bob Spindell, the Republican member of the commission who was one of the fake Trump electors. And hopefully in this rehearing, those same Wisconsin Elections Commission members will look at the larger issues involved, that this was not some kind of a backup plan. This was part of a plan to undermine Wisconsin elections, to undermine the will of the voters. And there is no shame whatsoever in those Elections Commission members reversing course and saying, knowing now what we didn't know then, these fake electors were part of a larger scheme that did, in fact, run afoul of the way that we conduct elections in Wisconsin, that this was, in fact, voter fraud. They filled out a fraudulent ballot saying that these Wisconsin electors are the true electors and that Donald Trump won the vote in Wisconsin. No, they did not. And so we will be following as the Wisconsin Elections Commission listens to that case once again. Meanwhile, election officials are hoping to revive a bipartisan plan that they said is critical to rebuilding confidence in elections, but a plan that was killed last week by Republican legislators without any debate. The state's chief elections official said a new division designed to handle voters' concerns and deal with an onslaught of records requests and complaints was exactly what Wisconsin needs and is of critical importance. But the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which of course is overwhelmingly run by Republicans, took that out of Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal for the next 2 years, along with more than 500 other ideas from the governor, without so much as a debate on the merits of any of them. This move to take out this necessary election reform is contrary to other battleground states that are taking steps to invest in trust in elections ahead of the 2024 race. Now, the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission is a Republican right now, Don Millis. And he says, I certainly hope the plan comes back. There are things we can do to improve confidence. And that's where the Inspector General's office would come in. Millis said he intended to ask lawmakers whether the plan could be revived as a bill. But the head of the Assembly Elections Committee told the Associated Press he's already looking in other directions to build trust in elections. Republican Assembly Representative Scott Krug said that Lawmakers are working on plans to fund grants for elections officials instead of more staff for the statewide elections commission. Krug said, quote, I think it makes more sense for the municipalities to be in charge of their decision-making and problem-solving. He said he had not heard from any other Republican legislators trying to revive the commission's request. So we'll get more into election integrity and who is speaking out on its behalf and whether that's the appropriate thing for that official to do when we come back. State Representative Christina Shelton and Dr. Kristen Lyerly right after this break. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
We continue the birthday salute to Billy Joel with Modern Woman as we bring in Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Green Bay Representative Christina Shelton to talk a bit of political news, specifically on election integrity and, you know, defending elections. And is it possible to go too far in defending election integrity? And specifically, we're getting at some remarks made by Wisconsin's new Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, who's been on the program many times defending democracy, essentially, against attacks that have been made and threatened by folks on the political right. And so, Dr. Lyerly, Representative Shelton, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Morning, Pat. Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, where this got going was, well, let me take a step back. This discussion about Sarah Godlewski, the Secretary of State, ruffling some feathers actually led to my ruffling a few feathers as well. There are people that I respect immensely, some that I only know through social media. Some of them are election clerks or elected officials. And, you know, we see eye to eye probably, you know, 95 out of 100 things. But on this one, we did not. There are people who think that Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski overstepped her bounds in talking about basically saying out loud, there are things that, you know, we could maybe be helpful in making elections more transparent and, you know, fending off those attacks. And some folks said Godlewski is confusing voters and should take a step back. Representative Shelton, what was your response to what the Secretary of State had to say and the reaction to it?
Well, look, Sarah Godlewski has been instrumental in building a progressive movement here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, her leadership, both in elected office and as an organizer and as an activist, has been inspiring to so many. And she is out on the front lines talking about restoring transparency in our democracy, in our elections and campaigns, talking about things that Kristen and I and so many of us talk about all the time, which is making it easier to vote, making sure that our clerks have what they need, that the WEC is funded and has the staff needed. When I read her comments, what I saw was a woman who is continuing to fight for what's right and just. She plays an instrumental role in making sure that we strengthen our democracy. We all play a role. And I continue to champion her. And I found I found no offense personally or professionally in anything that she said.
Kristen, before getting your reaction, just to set the stage for folks that don't listen to us regularly, we're often talking to you about medical issues, but you also were a candidate for state assembly in 2020. You continue to be politically outspoken and active. You're helping recruit candidates for legislature for next year out there. This is something you are invested in the political process. So we're taking off your doctor hat for a moment and putting on you're a party hack, okay, for our purposes here. How's that?
I love Wisconsin, Pat. What can I say?
That's just it. When, you know, some of us actually disrupted our lives to defend this state. So, Kristen, your thoughts first on Sarah Godlewski's comments and the reaction to them.
Hey, you know, everything that Representative Shelton just said, I'm a fan of Sarah Godlewski. That's no secret. What she did when she took over in the treasurer's office, which is another one of those constitutional offices that has very few responsibilities, she saw an opportunity to do something more for the people of Wisconsin. And I think that's what she saw with the Secretary of State's office as well. You know, Doug LaFollette has been there for a long time as the powers of this office have dwindled and withered. And then she looked at what was happening with elections here. The Wisconsin Election Commission has been under fire. They are underfunded. They are undersupported. They need help. So I think she saw this as a way to be able to protect democracy in a state that she loves as much as I do. So I was really disappointed, actually, with the tone of that editorial.
So let's talk about that reaction for a bit. First off, quoting from a Molly Beck story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that in late March, Godlewski told Milwaukee TV station CBS 58 and the Cap Times she wanted to use her new office to help improve transparency and accountability in elections. The day after the April elections, Godlewski filmed a video in her office to thank county clerks and poll workers. About a week later, in an interview with Wisconsin Public Radio, she said she wanted her office to help local elections officials and the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which oversees state elections and provide guidance to the state's nearly 1,800 or so local election clerks. But Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, said, quote, "It certainly was confusing to me to see that she was participating in a panel like this that she was also going to do in Chicago." And Wolf later said, "I think what we really need in elections and as election officials is for people to help ensure that the public knows that elections officials are the official source of information when it comes to elections." Mm-hmm. And Representative Shelton and Dr. Lyerly, I know there's a comment that when I posted something supportive of Sarah Godlewski's remarks, the tone that I heard back was, "We don't need to be defended. We can take care of ourselves." And I'm saying, Representative Shelton, with all the respect in the world, no, you actually do. I know you recognize the threats out there, and I think we might do well to welcome allies rather than say, you know, we don't need anything from you other than, you know, platitudes.
Yeah, look, you know, I was recently reading the opinion piece written by Mr. Don Millis, who's the WEC chair. And in his opinion piece that was in the Journal Sentinel, you know, he talks about election denialism, you know, spreading of misinformation and lies. But then he sort of starts to pivot and he says, you know, look, there's these well-meaning people in our state who mean well, but, you know, they are, in fact, perhaps spreading more misinformation than the actual election deniers and the liars themselves. And, you know, to pin this on well-meaning individuals, to pin this on Sarah Godlewski, and to essentially, as he said in his article, he tells her to stay in her lane at the end of that article. It's just, it's rich. It's rich to watch that happen because, you know, we're looking at, you know, the Fox News settlement with Dominion, $787 million settlement, because Fox News was peddling these election conspiracies and lies. You know, we have the Gableman investigation. We've got, you know, going back to 2012, we have Donald Trump talking about, you know, the election being a total sham. And so to pin this on people like Sarah Godlewski, who are a part of our state, an elected office, an outspoken advocate for democracy and championing transparency in a good faith effort around our elections and campaigns, it speaks of sexism. And I don't know about you, Pat, but I've never seen a man tell a woman to stay in her lane and have that work out for him.
It really doesn't in this day and age. And to put, you know, to put a finer point on this or a sharper point, again, to open myself up for criticism here, but those comments from Megan Wolf, who is the administrator of the Elections Commission, I don't think anybody could have done a more admirable job in that role than Megan Wolf. But two things. One, her term is going to be ending soon, and we don't know what's happening when her term ends at this point. If she's going to be up again, if Republicans are going to block, you know, any new appointment that comes in or what have you. So that's the one point, is that her term is coming to an end. The second point, and again, with all the respect in the world, but you and I, and it feels like about six other people, know who Megan Wolf is. So the whole notion that Sarah Godlewski can somehow confuse people, as opposed to being seen as a very public advocate for protecting our elections, I think I know which side of the fence I come down on, Kristen.
Democracy is a team sport. And in a situation like we are dealing with here in Wisconsin with our voting, which is, you know, obviously under fire, we are one of the hardest states to vote in the country. I think we're ranked like number 47 because of all of the restrictive voting laws. So really, everything you said about Megan Wolf, like, yes, she has been critical and the work that they have done has been so important, but we need more. We obviously need more. We need better. We need help. And this is that opportunity that I think Sarah saw a place where she could fit in and she could be part of that, like a cheerleader almost, you know, somebody who could bring some of this information to the public, help them understand, show what the clerks were doing, just really use her office to do some positive things and to ensure that Wisconsinites had more access to be able to vote and do it in a secure and positive way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I said earlier, democracy is a team sport. Let's get on board.
It's almost, and I apologize for folks who think that this expression is getting tired and should be, we should move on to something else. But I'm going to use the good cop, bad cop analogy. Tony Evers has to play the role of, you know, positive, hey, let's work together, folks. To have another elected official, and not the attorney general, because he gets involved in these legal cases, but to have another Democratic official essentially play bad cop and say in so many words, we're watching you. We have seen what you've tried to do before. We know what you're capable of doing again. Representative Shelton, I don't see that's not a bad role for an official to take.
Absolutely. I mean, 100%. As Kristen said, it's a team sport. We all play a role. And as an elected official, I get asked all sorts of questions that might be sort of outside of the traditional role of my work in the legislature. But I still speak out about things that I know my constituents care about and that I know the state of Wisconsin is fighting for. So that's what we see here with Sarah Godlewski. Again, look, you know, what she talked about really was about strengthening our democracy. She talked about transparency. She talked about public and private partnerships. She talked about making sure that, you know, that clerks have what they need. And so to have another voice, another advocate is exactly what we need. You know, we continue to see these election deniers and the spreaders of misinformation. It's not going away. And so we need more people to be louder and more vocal and to say, look, there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud that, you know, things like, you know, I think the WEC asked for, you know, 10 new staff in their budget. You know, they're looking for additional funding for local clerks. I worked my local election in the April election. I worked a 15-hour day to see what people go through every day to make sure that our elections run smoothly and with transparency is important. And I support Sarah. You know, she's in a tough spot here. But again, to tell a woman that she should stay in her lane and that she shouldn't have a voice on something that matters most to all of us, it just feels wrong.
And it also serves as a diversion from a larger issue that you started to hint at there, and that is that there actually is a bipartisan plan from the Wisconsin Elections Commission to do more to improve confidence in elections, to do more to handle the deluge of records requests and other things that come in. And yet that plan was one of the many things Republicans pulled out of Governor Evers' budget request. And right now, there does not appear to be an indication, Representative Shelton, that bipartisan plan is going to be taken up by Republicans as a separate bill.
Yeah, you look, when people tell you who they are, we need to believe them. And so, you know, Republicans in Wisconsin can talk about how they want to champion free and fair and transparent elections, but their actions speak louder than their words. And taking this out of JFC and joint finance and out of the budget tells us who they are. You know, we continue to see this with other provisions, you know, like removing mental health funding, you know, removing the Healthy School Meals for All bill. I mean, there's just a number of things that people overwhelmingly want to see happen. We've been begging for childcare and paid family medical leave. And so they continue to say one thing and then do another. And the Wisconsin people are onto them. And, you know, Pat, I have to say, I think their time is coming to a close here in the majority in the state legislature, and I think they know it.
And perhaps for reasons like last year, let's not forget how many of them actually advocated to abolish the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They didn't have to say in so many words, we're going to, you know, beef up the Secretary of State's office and give it the power to overturn elections. But plenty of people outside of Wisconsin talked about that, and there's no reason not to connect those dots. So I want to thank you, Representative Shelton, so much for coming up on rather late notice and talking to us about that. And Kristen, you're back Thursday with Hometown Health, and apparently we're just going to talk garbage with you.
It's not garbage, Pat. It's compost.
Composting. Yes. That thing that Christina creates in the Capitol in Madison that I create on the radio every day. We put this compost out and other things grow from what we produce, right?
Oh, something, Pat, like that. You have so much to learn, and you're going to learn a lot on Thursday.
Looking forward to it. All right. Kristen Lyerly, Christina Shelton, thank you again so much. Good to talk to you both this morning. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio, and we're going to get into the story we heard about at the top of this hour, that the teacher in Wausau East was on a list of teachers whose contracts were approved for next year despite some racist and homophobic bullying. We'll be back.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air.
Man, did we find the right theme for Chad Holmes or what? Going up to Bull Falls Radio in Madison, in Wausau now, where you can hear him weekdays from 2 to 4 if he's not getting rained on at a baseball or a softball diamond someplace. Chad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Doing well.
All right. Again, straddling the news and sports universes, we're going to start with the news first and the updated article that we had seen at the start of the hour that, again, was put together by Natalie Eilbert from the Green Bay Press Gazette, also seen in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The headline: outrage overflows at school board meeting over Wausau East band teacher who used racial slurs. And I add yet again, that headline is correct. It doesn't, you don't, the word allegedly is not in there. There is no denial that the language that was used was, how did we say it last week? It caused unease. And yet, yeah, despite another hour and a half of testimony from people on Monday night, the teacher's name is still on a list of those whose contracts were approved for the next year. Although I would imagine this is not the end of the matter, Chad.
No, I don't think so. And I know that at the end of the meeting last night, they went into closed session to speak of a topic that sounds a whole lot like this with attorneys. And I think with the Department of Public Instruction getting involved in it last week as well, that by far this is not over. And also, it's a little bit of a pattern when you go back to the way things occurred with the consolidation plan as well. It's almost as though they decide to make a decision and then basically put the accelerator down and just hope to drive through the barriers to get to the other end. And I think in some ways for the consolidation plan, it's working that they're continuing along that road. But I don't think in this situation it's going to work, because there's just way too much anger. There's way too much pushback. There's way too much evidence. And, you know, if you read the release that they sent out announcing, well, here are the findings and here's what we're going to do. And when you read if you just stop after the findings, and then you say, well, what can we do in this situation? There is the most lenient thing you can do and the most unlenient thing you can do, the most punitive thing you can do. I think at the one end is fire the teacher. And right, then at the other end, I would think the most lenient thing you could do is suspend, ask them to take some sort of courses in order to change their behavior. But the idea that, okay, we have this list of all these things that that occurred, and, well, we're going to let you go right back. Yeah, it made no sense. It makes no sense. And I can see why many people, it's not just the Asian American community, it's the community at large that is not happy with the way that this has been moving forward.
Well, no, and nor should they be, you know, because again, this is, what do they always say? It's never the wrong time to do the right thing. It's never too late to do the right thing. And people certainly have a sense that this appears to be, if not sweeping something under the rug, then certainly minimizing the damage. And look, if there's one thing that gets white conservatives, if you want to see them get rankled, use this word, privileged. But once again, it's coming from that point of privilege that there is no name that you can get called as a white person who is in charge of something that's going to make you feel nearly as humiliated and small as some of the words that can be hurled against racial minorities and people who are LGBTQ and whatnot. And to not have the empathy to put yourself in those students' positions and say, is this the best environment possible for learning? If instead, if by chance they're going with this defense of, well, we're not here to be politically correct and we're not here to be woke and so forth, that's not going to turn out well for you in the end, I don't think.
No, and I don't understand Superintendent Dr. Keith Hiltz, even last night and over the last couple of weeks, refusing to comment on this, refusing to say, okay, this is what you believe. You believe this teacher should return to the classroom. Our investigation showed this, 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 and this is why we should do it. The only thing I saw is that he said, well, there were some people that would have liked to have come and spoke in favor of the band teacher, but they couldn't make it last night. Well, all those folks that spoke last night could make it. I don't want to hear about the people that couldn't make it. If that's the only thing he has to say, there is a major issue right now.
And the issue, again, that we mentioned last week, too, is that you can be well-regarded. You can be well-liked. You can be a good family person and still be a racist. You can still be a bully. You can still be a homophobe. You can still be all kinds of things and still have people like what they see of you, whether it's between 9 and 5 or, you know, after hours when you're away from wherever you're doing something terrible. And so the defense that, you know, he's been nice to me, well, until I hear that from some other people who are in the same position of the student that was bullied, then I'm going to put a little bit more stock in that opinion. But until then, like you said, you have to look at the evidence that's in front of you. And there just hasn't been a denial of that. And I appreciate being able to talk about the background of it with you. On lighter notes, it is still spring sports season. Hopefully you're not getting rained on too often. You're getting now some beautiful days to be talking baseball, softball, track, and things like that, I hope.
Well, not yesterday. I was sitting in the rain with my umbrella out.
I'm trying to be forward looking here. I'm projecting my hope for you.
Nothing. I'm looking outside my window here and it's cold and overcast. No, it's all good. I mean, I know it's going to turn. It's what, May the 9th. Eventually it's going to turn. I mean, it's going to happen, but it's a fun time of year. It's always fun. I want to mention, speaking of area sports, today on my program, I'm having a visit from a young man named Brady Cleveland. He is a former Wausau West hockey player. After his sophomore year, he left to play on the United States National Developmental Team. He was a member of the U18 World Championship team. They just won a world championship, a gold medal over in Switzerland just over a week ago. And he's back in central Wisconsin. He's stopping by later today. Going to talk about that, talk about heading to Wisconsin to play hockey coming up this coming fall, and just talk about his experiences in Europe and what he's been able to accomplish. So it should be fun to tune into a young man who's done a lot of great things from Wausau West.
That's great. And one professional thing, I don't think we've spoken. I think Coach Bud was fired by the Bucks since our last visit. What do you think?
I think it sucks.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I am so tired of everybody seems to think there's this perfect coach out there. They can nitpick. The guy had the best record in the NBA for 5 years, won a championship. I guess, you know, again, I get tired of the whiners about the Packers have only won 2 Super Bowls in the last 35 years. Stop it.
The record speaks for itself.
Yes. I mean, I'm so tired of this, the firing of a guy from everything I've heard is a good guy. Done a good job as coach. Well, we're going to fire him because there's some magical coach out there that's going to take him to the next level. We'll about that.
Yeah, good luck with the magic. Chad Holmes, Bull Falls Radio, 2 to 4 weekday afternoons. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too.
And we want to thank all of you for being part of our show as well. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.